The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're on, Al.
Good morning, Jess. Go away in May for some. Certainly go away for Spurs fans. Anyway, it's been a shocking end to the season. Well, 2-0 loss to Villa. Yeah. Go out with a whimper rather than a bang. I mean, you know, what's occurring, eh?
Yeah, something has to be done. But no, go away in May, as far as the stock market, it's been go away for like almost like 2 years, isn't it? Bloody hell, it's so hard work this market is. Literally, I've felt like that for a while. I felt like actually just packing up, getting in a Winnebago and travelling the world. I thought,
yes.
It's just so hard work, isn't the market? It's annoying, really annoying. And it just seems to be going away. We hit the bottom, I think, in October, bounced a bit, largely rolled over, and it just continues to just do nothing, pretty much. It's just really hard. It's like trying to swim through treacle.
It really does feel that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it's been hard work. It's been really hard work, and you kind of think, goodness me, should I give up? And then you know, all of a sudden, something you've held for a while comes to life, and the story develops, and there are some examples out there of companies that have blazed a trail and done well and delivered despite the conditions. So I think there's a message in there somewhere. There, if your stock picking is good, you can still find that you can still find good stocks, and we're going to talk about one shortly that has risen again today. But it is really difficult.
It's a real market. It's almost like that. We were a nice rally. Quite a few stocks, microcaps, did really well. Really rallied very strongly. But now it's rolling, going sideways again. Do you know what? We're now 616 days since the high on AIM. And the FTSE 250 is actually 621 days for that.
Yeah.
But 616 days. So I'm surprised anyone's still left playing the game. But the market's just a cruel mistress. Like you say, when you're about to walk away, you have a couple of rallies and you think, oh, drags you back in. And then you've got another couple of months of boredom. Thinking, what the heck is going on here? I think, like I said, with normal bear markets, you can have a serious correction, a rally upwards, because even the Great Financial Crash, that was very fixable by central banks because they just propped up the banks. But what we've got here with inflation, it's a lot stickier. The central banks indirectly can try and control it, but they can't control it because all they can do is raise interest rates, which affects people's spending and all that stuff. And so you've got cost of high stuff being pushed up anyway by prices, and then the central banks are raising interest rates, which are affecting mortgage rates, everything, loans, and
it's reducing the cash you've got to spend each month. So they can raise interest rates to try and cap inflation, but all they do is reduce spending because families can't afford to spend, and if the underlying core inflation still doesn't come down, which has been the case this year, although we're seeing signs that it's starting to ease off. And of course, we got to the 4.5% that was predicted by the Bank of England governor last year, and then now saying that maybe toward the end of the year we'll start to see those rates come off a bit. But of course, if it carries on going up, then that becomes a real concern. I think we will see a correction in the markets off the back of that.
Yeah. It's hard work. Like I said, it isn't. That's why it's going to take longer to recover. I think you'll have these rallies trading the range for a while, but unless we got that core inflation coming down in a trend, then I don't think it's going to rally that hard. It's going to keep coming back towards the earth again. Okay, let's talk about some stocks. What are you looking at?
Okay, well, going to talk about a couple of gold stocks in a minute, but firstly, just wanted to look at On the Market. And of course, On the Market, OTMP is the epic code. This is the majority agent-owned company which operates the onthemarket.com property portal and a series of technology platforms. For example, it has a tech-led platform which it white labels out to other companies. It's an automated pre-tenancy and property management platform, operates from over 100 branches, and it allows landlords and tenants to facilitate the letting of the property and complete the documentation and everything else. So, a very efficient system. Of course, it was set up on the premise of competing with Rightmove, which is the really has blazed a trail over the past few years, and Rightmove, of course, in terms of its valuation compared to on the market, it's raced ahead. It's worth billions compared to the millions that on the market's worth. And I think there's probably one of the reasons for this is that being an agent-owned company platform, what we're seeing is that the original lock-in agreements that were signed by the agents when they signed up to on the market are now expiring. So, of course, those agents are selling en masse into the market. So that's always in the sort of markets we're seeing at the moment. That's always going to have an impact. It's going to limit the gains that we're going to see from the group. But we had a pre-closed trading update, so we're in the run-up to full-year results at the moment. Pre-closed trading update at the end of January. Strong growth during last year. Revenues expected between 34 and 34.5 million, up from just over 30 million the previous year. So that's good, solid growth. It expects to report increased operating margins too, with adjusted operating profits expected between 4 to 4.5 million, up from 2.7 million in 2022. So that's a good performance. You can argue that's taken place across a far more buoyant market. So maybe now we're seeing the share price depressed on the back of perhaps reduced appetite in the property market. Certainly, I think there's been a slowdown in house sales this year. This is normally a really buoyant time. You can see lots of boards up and, driving around Seaford. You see lots of boards up, and then you drive around a few weeks later and they're still there. So it's not moving at the rate it was a few years ago. But if the interest rate medicine does work and we start to get inflation under control and there's the prospect of rates coming down, then I think that's going to rejuvenate the property market. But of course, that's all a wait and see and hope it works out. But nonetheless, I think the on-the-market property platform is demonstrating that it's got a good business there. It can grow revenues. It can grow profitability, operating profits up. And of course, the share price, if we look at the share price over the past year, it's very much been bumping along the bottom. Year lows are 62p, currently trading just under 75p. Been as high as a pound late last year, I think on the back of the strong results that the company delivered. But again, there's uncertainty about the outlook for this year, coupled with agents who own stock in the company now selling because the lock-ins are expiring. So that's going to be a factor. I think it's going to weigh on the share price. But if the stock continues to trade at these year lows, once we get the full year results out, we will also get a glimpse into how current trading is going. And I think then that might be the time to make a decision whether it's time to buy the stock or maybe hold on for a bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The property market is. I've noticed actually because I'm on all these sort of apps on the market, down right move and Zoopla, but there's a lot of property price reductions going on. People are obviously.
Yeah,
a guy over the road from me. He sold a house over the road and bought the land next to us, so he developed another house, and he sold right at the top of the market. He had like three or four people at that time. The property market can go berserk, can't it? Sometimes, and people are just offering, way above the market price there. And they're not even looking at the properties, And now we're the opposite way around. We've got interest rates high, and people are a bit scared, aren't they? Taking on mortgages at this level. So, like I said, if interest rates come down and the bond market suggests they will do, then it'll become buoyant again and it'll start moving again,
Well, certainly, my mum is downsizing in the village she lives in East Sussex, and we put the property on the market a while ago, and it took a while to get going, but we've got a buyer in place now, so it's still happening. But again, driving around here, I think properties are staying on the markets for longer because of course people are aware that there are bargains to be had. So I think people are going in with lower offers now. As you say, they're not offering know, way over the asking price as they might have done, say a year ago. So that's just the way things are. So you know, there's still going to be turnover. You know, the agents are still in a commission, on the market still earns their commission, and their revenues will hopefully continue to grow. But as I say, I think we'll get a snapshot into that with the full year results, where we should have an update on current trading too. And I think that's what analysts will be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Marvellous. What's next, Al?
Okay. Lexington Gold. We spoke about Lexington on a number of occasions, and this is a company that's just really gone from strength to strength. If you take a look at the share price performance for the year, it's the shares have been bumping along around the 4 to 5p mark, and then all of a sudden this morning they've shot up to 10p. And there are a lot of reasons for this. I mean, the company has of course a portfolio of assets in Southern Carolina in the USA, portfolio of gold assets, and it's been undertaking work at the Jones Keystone asset, where it's now established a JORC estimate for the assets, with a total inferred resource of 6.9 million tons, which equates to 210,800 ounces of contained gold, and made an independent JORC mineral resource estimate for the asset of 4.3 million tons, which equates to 128,000 ounces of contained gold. So that, you know, once you have that, then you've got a valuation benchmark, which of course every gold miner needs, and that really sets the tone, I think, for the other assets the company is operating out there. So of course you've got the Jones Keystone asset I mentioned. We've got the Laughlin project as well. The company also announced more recently it had undertaken some sampling work at the Jennings Pioneer project and had some very strong results back from that. And also we've seen stake building in the company. There's an investment vehicle called Pure Ice that's built its stake in the company now up to 23%. Also, the chairman, Ed Nealon, has provided an unsecured loan of $150,000 to the company to continue its work. And then today, the company announced the acquisition of the of White Rivers Exploration, which is a South Africa-based company. This is interesting. It also ties in with the fact that the management team here, that's Ed Nealon, the chairman, and Bernard Olivier, the chief executive, are also heading up the URA Holdings, which has assets in South Africa too. So this ties in strategically. It ties in with both of these with the assets that's been acquired this morning, which is of course the White Rivers Exploration Company. And White Rivers Exploration owns an asset, it owns a series of assets in the Witwatersrand goldfields of South Africa, getting over 90,000 hectares, and the tenement interests are estimated by the group to contain a potential resource of over 37 million ounces of gold. That's not a JORC estimate. It's not a SAMREC estimate, which is the African equivalent of a JORC standard. But this is based on the work and the historical data that's been generated from the company. And I think the thing is, with their track record of success with Lexington to date, the board will have considered this long and hard and undertaken an enormous amount of due diligence, and this is a very neat fit for the Lexington team per se. And I mean, it's received a huge stamp of approval, as we can see from the markets today. I mean, the shares rose to 10p, so up over 25% at one point. So a really, really strong performance from the stock, but it still gives the company market capitalization of about 24-25 million, which given you've got a group of assets like such as the team have, I don't think that's a huge premium to equate to the assets the company has under its control at all, particularly given the track record that the company have delivered to date and the work that they've undertaken. So hugely excited to see what Bernard Olivier and the team will continue to bring to the table, and also, of course, the potential within this South African asset, White Rivers Exploration. So more to come from this, but I'm a shareholder here, and I've been holding shares since the early days. So that's 2 to 3p. So really excited to see where this is going to go now.
Oh, hey, I say, Al. There we are. You've multi-bagged on this one, have you?
Yes, it's a multi-bagger, but yeah, it's I've taken profits on the way up. You know, it always takes the money off the table as the shares are rising. You know, so you can, you know, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. But I think it's given the momentum this company has, I'm expecting an awful lot more from this group and as we go forward. And certainly, I'm not alone in that. My City colleagues feel the same. This company's got an awful lot more to go. My colleagues in the City, yes.
Oh, I see. Again, yes. My City colleagues feel the same. Yes.
something like that. Just anyway.
I went to the chart. It's quite hot at the moment. I wouldn't take a position here because we got an RSI at 95. Whenever it's been this high before, it's come back down. Or it's gone to the side. Got the side a bit. So
I'm sure it will, and I think we've seen the company's continued to deliver, it's continued to add value to its assets all the way through, and this is a further value add. And I think the rise we've seen this morning is based on the anticipation of what could come from here, and also the judgment that Bernard Olivier and Ed Nealon as a team have shown to date. So that's hugely exciting. But yeah, I fully expect that after this rise today, there will be some profit taking. You see the share price come off a bit and then consolidate at probably a slightly higher level than it was previously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what do your colleagues in the City say, Al?
Oh, no. I'll have to consult with them.
Okay. What's next, Al?
Okay. We're still on the subject of gold. We're going now to Tajikistan, and I've spoken before. Then. Safe jurisdiction. Well, it is safe. It's relatively safe because the company continues to produce gold from the Pakrat gold mine, and the Pakrat gold mine is what this company is all about. It's a binary trade, if you like. If you're happy that this company will continue and the mine will continue to produce and sell gold into the market, then there's a valuation there, and the company's got a valuation currently of $7 million. At the end of April, there was an update reported to the market on the Pakrat mine. An independent technical report was provided, which updated the mineral resource estimate to 6.7 million tons with an average grade of 2.1 grams per ton gold. So that's an increase from previous. During last winter, there was an issue because if you go to the China Non-Ferrous Gold website, you'll see where the gold mine is situated. It's a huge area, but it's situated on the side of the mountain, so that in itself produces or creates logistical problems with the weather. There was an issue with power supply. They lost power to the mine for a couple of months, and also the snow made the roads impassable and created difficulties with smelting. So it's a play against the weather in the region too, because the fact that the weather was severe enough to shut the mine down for a couple of months during the winter, of course, impacted on production. But nonetheless, the the company are sort of are continuing to progress work, improve the infrastructure so access issues don't become the issues they were previously. The share price currently is trading at 1.7p, It's a play on gold. It's a play on gold, and it's a play on also the region as well. And you know, you've pointed out the region's unstable. Just a lot of people may take that view. People with knowledge of the region and the infrastructure there might decide differently. But nonetheless, gold is pushing higher. The share price really is bumping along the bottom at the moment. We're just off year lows at about 1.3p. So you know, I think given that production's restarted, we've got every prospect of seeing an improvement in the share price as the year progresses.
Yeah, let's look at the website here, and they've got significant holders, all right? And they hold at 38.36% of the companies are held by China Non-Ferrous Metals International Mining Company.
Yes.
How does that work then?
Well, China Non-Ferrous Gold Limited is the holding, the operating company of the mine, but it owns the mine outright, several members of the board are significant shareholders in the mine also.
Zhao Bin and Huang Lihu.
Zhang Yui, the managing director, is also a major shareholder as well. But yes, that's right. So they're major shareholders and they're on the board. The nomad for the company is WH Ireland. So of course, this is a long established company. It's been running for years. If you look at where the share price was previously, it's come back an awful long way. At some point, the value has to out because because gold is pushing higher given the macro backdrop. So I do think there's a disconnect here.
It's just, as I say, it's pretty not in line with peers or gold producers, whatever, because just basically when it is and who owns it, shares are risky enough as it is, and you can add levels of risk, and jurisdiction is one of them, and you think jurisdiction is a worry, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Well, we go back to 2021, and the shares are trading sort of at 11 to 12p. So from a jurisdictional standpoint, of course, we've had COVID during the period, but of course, gold stocks rose rapidly during COVID, as we know. But we had the winter shutdown, which of course hit the stock. Stock was trading at 3p, just over 3p in February this year, and then sort of fell back to that 1.3p. It's traded its way sort of back up slowly since then. So I think at the very least we could expect once production has resumed, and of course if the company can improve efficiencies and increase production or increase the rate of production, then it wouldn't be unreasonable to expect to see the share price return back to perhaps that 3.5p zone.
Mm. So it's bordered by Afghanistan to the south, Uzbekistan to the west, Kyrgyzstan to the north, and China to the east.
All the stands, man.
Yeah, stands. Okay. Marvellous. Well, do your research, everyone.
Do your research.
I'd actually go out there and travel out there and actually just knock on the door and say, can I look around, please?
What if you're going to take a year off, just jump in the Winnebago and drive to Tajikistan?
I think I prefer warmer climes, to be honest. Cool, marvellous stuff. Thanks, Al. We'll speak next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.